with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva. He smeared the clay on his eyes, and he said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and he washed, and he came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Yes," but others, "No, he just looks like him." But he said, "I am he." They brought the one who had been once blind, they brought him to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees and also asked him how he was able to see, and he said, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man cannot be from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such a sign?" There was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." And they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin. You are trying to teach us." And then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that he had been expelled, he found him and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one who is speaking with you is he." And he said, "I do believe." And he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord. I am sure that liturgical scholars and biblical scholars would not be happy that I read a very short version of what is a very long story in chapter 9 of the book of John. You might be happy with it, but still. But sometime, if you have a few moments, see if you can read chapter 9 in the book of John. About this man born blind. And the first thing that people ask, was it his sin or the sin of his parents that he was born blind? We do that. Something goes wrong for us and say, "I didn't deserve this. God, what are you doing to me? I earned something better." And Jesus said, "It's for the glory of God that he was born blind." So let me look at this. We've talked many times about the seven signs in the Gospel of John. He does not call them miracles. He calls them signs. Other Gospels will call miracles, but for John, signs. They're meant to point to something deeper and beyond the apparent understanding of the Word of God in the Gospel of John. There are seven signs. This is number six. Seventh sign will be next Sunday, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Interestingly, this man born blind and the raising of Lazarus, not found in the other Gospels. A purely Johannine revelation. Let me just search for a teaching. There are many ways to approach this, but I want to claim one pastoral approach toward understanding how this should impact our lives. The man who is born blind has to suffer in order to see. He'll suffer ridicule, he will suffer judgment, by the religious authorities who are blind. He will suffer exclusion. They throw him out of the temple. He's no longer welcome. He must go through this difficult, challenging, painful time in order to understand the power of Jesus Christ and in order to claim that he believes in the Lord. If you read the longer version, the first time they ask him, he says, "Who opened your eyes?" He said, "The man named Jesus." Read on, and the second time he said, "He is a prophet." And the third time they ask, Jesus says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He said, "I do believe." So there's this progression of faith like that. But in order to get to seeing clearly, he has to suffer. Now, if you read right through the Gospels, you'll find many times after Jesus performs a miracle, or after the Transfiguration, Jesus will tell his followers, "Tell no one about this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Why does he say this? Don't you think he wants people to know about his miracles? No. "Tell no one until the Son of Man has risen." Because unless you understand a suffering Messiah, not just a miracle worker, unless you understand the cross, unless you understand that if you want to belong to Jesus Christ, you must suffer somewhere in life. You must carry a cross somewhere in life. Unless you understand that, you cannot proclaim the Messianic Jesus. So he tells his followers, "Don't tell anybody until you have seen me suffer, be rejected, be judged, die a painful, ignominious death, and then rise from the dead. Until that happens, don't go out and proclaim the Messiah. You don't know the Messiah." The suffering of this man is transformational. Now we speak about, in spiritual life, we speak about being transformed or a transmutation. Transmutation is a surface thing. You know, I'll keep all the rules. I'll go to the 9:30 and I'll support the auction. It's okay, whatever. But transformation is something happens inside the person. We can have a transmutation, say the rosary and keep the thing, but the inner transformation is a different, a more radical thing which appears in this gospel and which is the insistent statement of Jesus. If you are to really proclaim Jesus Christ, you must go through some transformation in your life. What does it mean to us? Some years ago, I was leading a small prayer group, and we came to chapter 9 in the Gospel of John. We'd meet every week, so I asked them to go away, and this week, I want you to think about some radical experience in your life that changed the way you see. Not winning the lotto, that's not going to change the way, going to change your lifestyle. You'll make a big contribution to Holy Family. I mean, it could change your lifestyle, but it's not going to change your inner person. What happened to you in your life that touched you so deeply? It changed your inner person and you begin to see life in a new way. Go away and think about that for a week, I told them. They came back after a week to share their experiences. They talked about suffering. They talked about an experience of death, somebody close to them. They talked about some radical personal failure that cautioned them against judging other people. They talked about the pain in their lives, the misunderstandings, the divisions in their lives. The more they reflected on this, the more they found that the transformation needs suffering. There is no transformation following Jesus Christ unless you know and walk through the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. It's not so much getting rid of the pain, it's how to embrace the pain, how to give meaning to the reversal. How to understand it in a new way. The pain, the struggle, the reversals you have in your life. Sickness. The burdens of life. To reframe these so that you're transformed. And in your transformation, you meet Jesus Christ. So that when you go through this process of transformation and you meet Christ in your prayer, Christ says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And you say, "I do believe." What's that mean? When you say, "I do believe," it means I'm a follower. I'm going to follow you in miracles. I'm going to follow you in triumph. I'm also going to follow you in pain. Not just my pain. Now I can see the pain of people around me. I can see poor people, people struggling in our society. I can see in a new way. We're a country at war. I can see this war in a new way, seeing with the eyes of Christ. However you feel about it, to be transformed is to see it in a new way. We are heavily burdened sometimes by conflicts, and somebody betrayed us. We were shortchanged somewhere. Somebody really disappointed us in life. Somebody dismissed us. And we carry all this inside of us. And then we get transformed and we say, "Wow, this is not the meaning of life. This is not the meaning of following Jesus Christ, who God was rejected, judged, set aside, the blind man, misunderstood." So this is meant to shake us a little bit, make us think in a new way, search for a new meaning. I easily remember Jean-Paul Richter, the Romantic German poet, who put it this way, poetically. "Two old men who were foes for life stood by a grave and wept, and their tears wiped away the memory of their strife. And they wept again for the years that were lost." Amen.